Appreciate the very good lesson, good message. It's a timely message. It's a timeless message. Something we certainly need to take great heed to. I want to kind of pick up where we and just continue along those same lines of thought from a different, perhaps a different approach maybe, but very much in keeping with the same. And I'm gonna have to give you the Bereans Digest version of this. Not the Reader's Digest, but the Bereans, perhaps. Could you be an Obed-Edom? Could you? You remember who he was? He's the one whose house the ark was taken to, and he was blessed. Could you be one of those? Could you? Could you be a Jacob in the sense that Brother Thomas addressed that this morning? I don't mean the scoundrel. I mean how that what he did caused others to be blessed. Could you be one of those? Could you? Could you be a Joseph and live your life in such a way that others around you are being blessed while you're being blessed? Could you be one of those? Maybe the better question is, are you one of those? Are you? Let me read. I'm just going to introduce the thought from 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. The idea actually is carried in both 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. But I'm just going to do one of them because there's a point I want to make, and then I'm going to kind of illustrate that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus, which, by the way, Silvanus elsewhere might be mentioned as Silas. If you wonder why that is, why would he have two names? Well, it's just a variation of it. You know, among this congregation, I might call Brother Tommy, Brother Tommy. But if it were in a place where we're not as well known, I might say Elder Thomas. Okay, so Silas and Silvanus. Same person, all right. And Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now understand that in is in italics. So the translators, in bringing the original scriptures to our language, they supplied some words at times to help the reading of the text, but it didn't change anything. All right, so I don't want to try to put too much on an italicized word, but here's the point. Paul addressed this church as those that were in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, why the difference? Why say both? Well, if you study the scriptures very much, you come to the realization that the expression in Christ is not always the same idea. I mean, it's obviously in Christ, but sometimes it has eternal application. Sometimes it has timely application. Let me illustrate it this way. Let me ask you a question. When those who stoned Stephen, when they laid their coats at a young man's feet, whose name was what? Saul of Tarsus. Do you know that man? Ananias knew that man. later on, Ananias would say, I've heard of this man. And yet that man became the Apostle Paul. And how many people have been blessed by the ministry of the Apostle Paul that God blessed? But here's my question. When they laid their coats at the feet of Saul of Tarsus, was Saul of Tarsus in Christ? That's another one of those trick questions. You know, like not too long ago I asked you, are you saved? On the one hand, if we're saved, we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, saved by his blood, looking forward to being raised by his power when he comes back. But on the other hand, when Peter told those folks on the day of Pentecost, save yourselves from this untoward generation, or when Paul told the Philippian brethren, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, there's times when we need the saving influence of the gospel and the word of God to save ourselves from this untoward generation. Amen. So, are we talking eternal, or are we talking the timely application? Was Saul of Tarsus in Christ when they stoned Stephen? Well, he was chosen in Christ. He was redeemed by the blood of Christ. But he sure wasn't acting like it. That's my point. He wasn't acting like it. In a sense, he didn't know God. He didn't know Christ. He wasn't being a blessing to the faithful followers of the Lord. He was persecuting the church. As a matter of fact, as I've come to conclude and over the years, that thorn in the flesh that he carried, just like Jacob had that constant reminder, Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and I'm persuaded that that thorn, now it could be more than this, but I'm persuaded that that thorn in the flesh was his remembrance of what he had done to so many in his unbelief. Before he was in the timely sense of being in Christ. Paul even spoke in Romans 16, Junia and some of the others let me read it. Romans chapter 16. Paul spoke of himself in this way. Romans 16, verse 7. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Now, he's not talking about election. He's not talking about the choice of God before the foundation of the world. He's talking about a time when Christ came to him and caused him to be born of the Spirit and blessed him to know who Jesus is. And bless your hearts, when we think about how that Paul addressed the church at Thessalonica, who, by the way, these brethren were faithful. He commended them for their work of faith and their labor of love and patience and hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. He was commending them, but he spoke of them as being those that were in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, not only were they chosen in him, they were born again. They were serving, though they knew who the Lord was. They were serving the Lord. They were being faithful to God. And they were living in such a way that they were obeying the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, walking in the word of God, and being blessed by it. And others were being blessed by them. So let me ask you again. Can you be one of those Obed-Edoms? Can you be one of those Jacobs? Can you be one of those Josephs? By the grace of God, we can be. And by obedience to the word of Christ and faithfulness, we will be. Should we be? Are we? You see, when we think about the blessing that we have of being one of God's elect children, and what a privilege that is, what a blessing that is. And every day we ought to give thanks unto God for His mercy upon us and the blessings that He gives us each day. Not only what He's blessed us to understand that He's done for us in the sense that He sent His Son to suffer and die to redeem us from our sins, and we can never be separated from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, and someday we'll be with Him in glory because of His grace and because of the provision of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to thank Him every day for that. While we also thank Him for the temporal blessings that we enjoy. And the more thankful we are, the better we become one of those Josephs and one of those Jacobs in that sense, and one of those Obed-Edoms. The more we follow, the more we're thanking God, the more thankful we are, the more appreciative we are for what He has done for us, the better we can serve Him day by day. So just think for a moment. Saul of Tarsus, by the grace of God, by the choice of God, the election of God, the predestination of God, by those things, Saul of Tarsus was going to be in heaven someday. But it was by the calling of the Holy Spirit that blessed him to know what God had done for him. And look at the difference in the life. Look at the blessing in the kingdom of God there was from the Apostle Paul in contrast to Saul of Tarsus. The point I'm trying to drive home: if God has called us by His grace, He has called us to glorify Him in this life.
Amen.
What sense does it make if God would call us by His grace and then us continue to live like the Saul of Tarsus? How much glory would be given to God if He called us by His grace and blessed us to know Him and blessed us to know what He's done for Him, and we still live like Saul of Tarsus? May God help us to receive the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and live to His glory. As Brother Thomas was speaking about this morning, you know, there were some things that he said that was convicting to me. I hope it was to you. That I realize I've come short. I mean, I can heartily say amen and rejoice in the things that he preached to us, realizing all the while that I've come short. You know, just because I say amen doesn't mean I think I've done all of that. We come short. But that's the pattern. That's the word of God that we're to follow. So, when we think about the blessing of being in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not all just election. That's not all just what God has done for us. Bless your hearts. When we respond to the grace of God, when we respond to His mercy upon us, when we respond to understanding the Word of God and applying it in our lives, that's when we can let our light shine. That's what brings glory to God, and that's what the kingdom of God is all about. And don't we desperately need it in our day? As Brother Thomas mentioned, how there's a lot of things in this world we wish were different. And I'll amen that. And there's a lot of things, a lot of ways in which I wish that the church of God had more influence in our community. You know, like I feel like it did in the past. I know there's still a lot of good folks. I know God still has a lot of good people in this country. But, you know, I can't change that. But I can work on me. And you can work on you. And just maybe, if we're following the Lord more closely, if we're loving Him more dearly, just maybe, others around us can be benefited more by our faithfulness and our obedience to this word, to the glory of God. And maybe His kingdom would have a little more influence in our little corner of the world. And who knows, if we start using our talents like we were taught this morning, God can multiply them. You know, I never really thought about it, but by God continuing to bless that two-talent fellow, eventually, maybe he would have been referred later on in his life as a five-talent person. Maybe we can only speculate about the one talent. You know, we're always plagued by that one talent problem. We all have a problem of burying our talent. We've been warned about that in that parable. We're warned about that in not covering, you know, putting your light under a bushel. We all have to fight against that every day, don't we? Oh, may God help us to use the blessings and the understanding that He's given us. May we use it faithfully. Whatever station in life we find ourselves, let's just be faithful to God and let Him bless. Because if you're faithfully using, look at, and I'll just, you know, remind you, the Apostle Paul. What a blessing he has been to us. Now, he would be the first to tell you that it's by the grace of God he is what he is. And we all have to say that, don't we? But God gives us so much. He blesses us in so many ways. May God help us to receive that grace and use it in a way that brings glory and honor to His name, and just leave the consequences to God. If He's pleased, He will bless. If He's pleased, He will multiply. If He's pleased, He will increase our influence. But it has to be according to His will and in His time. When others see our lives, may God bless them to see someone who's both in God and in Christ, not just a chosen child of God, the elect family, but one who's actively engaged in serving the Lord with gladness of heart, bearing fruits of righteousness, and being faithful to Him no matter what our circumstances are in life. May God bless you, is our prayer.